You're listening to A1R Psychic Radio, Earth's number one psychic radio network, and watching Moonstruck TV and Lightning Television. Welcome. Time for Amanda Hall Psychic with Amanda Hall. Live from AmandaHallPsychic.com.au. Connect direct. In North America, dial 888-454-2751. In London, 203-519-2158. In Sydney, dial 02-8488-3147. Or online, contact us through our Facebook page, Facebook.com/Psychic Radio.
Or one of our websites,
AskOneRadio.com or Moonstruck.tv. This is Amanda the Hall site on A1R, the Ask One Radio Network.
Welcome to A1R Psychic Radio here on Moonstruck TV with Amanda Hall Psychic all the way from the Gold Coast. What an exciting week it's going to be around the world as everybody goes trick-or-treating. And here in Australia, it's starting to gain momentum. I've got all my little bags of goodies ready for the little people to knock on the door on Halloween. And it's a very exciting time of the year. Not only is it Halloween, but it's also Simply Tarot's birthday on Halloween. We launched Simply Tarot 20 years ago this year on Halloween. So I'm pretty excited about that. So without saying any more about it, let's go to the Simply Tarot card of the week, which is the Empress. The Empress card is the card of delays that will prove necessary. Now, sometimes delays happen in our lives because they're necessary. They're meant to slow us down so we can stop, we can look, we can listen, we can reevaluate, we can look at things in a very different way. That, you know, sometimes we're a little bit hasty in the decisions that we're making, and sometimes we need to just sort of slow down and maybe look at it from a different angle. So when you see the Empress card come out in a reading, it's saying to you, stop, look, and listen. Let's just slow things down. Let's look at the delays that are happening in your life are very, very necessary. They're not there just to cause you a headache or to cause you frustration. They are there because they're necessary. Maybe you need to have another look at things that are going on in your life. And just to give you a little bit of background on the Simply Tarot cards, every card was purpose shot, and every person that's in the cards was an actual real live model. These were people that were specifically chosen for each particular card. So none of this was sort of photoshopped or anything like that. Everything was real live scenery, people dressed up in real costumes. And this was one of my dear friends, Mary. She was one of my closest friends who's no longer with us. And she was chosen as the Empress because she had that commanding performance about her that she made everybody sit up and take notice, no matter what role she played or what she did in real life. So the Empress card, delays will prove necessary, and it's a really important card. So, you know, if you get this in a reading, you'll know that you just got to slow down a little bit and smell the roses and look at what might be around you. Is there a key piece that maybe you're missing in the decisions or the project that you're trying to get off the ground? So remember that the next time you see the Empress card. So it's a big week astrologically. There's a lot of influence this week in the water signs, so particularly Scorpio, because happy birthday to all the Scorpios. Now, look, Scorpios get a lot of bad press. They're not a bad people at all. They're very intense. They can be sort of sometimes cold, almost feeling cold and frozen. And it is the sign of frozen water. That's what Scorpio represents. So the next time that you're mixing with a Scorpio, or you think, gee, they're being a little bit cold or a little bit unreachable, or I'm not able to have a conversation with them, be a little bit more gentle and be a little bit more understanding, because they're probably thinking, they're trying to delve into their very, very deep emotions. And they need to do that before they open their mouth, before they give a comment, before they give a direction of where things should be going. They need to go away and think about it, and they need to sort of delve very deep into their emotional self to make sure that it sits comfortably with them. Look, you know, I've got lots of Scorpio friends in my life and family members and things like that, as most of us do. And sometimes they are a little bit difficult to understand, particularly if you're not a water sign, because particularly a fire sign like me, you want everything done yesterday. And, you know, by them taking their time and having to analyze and think about things, and they're very, very deep feeling people, can sometimes irritate or annoy other signs because we don't fully understand it. And you have to understand that it is a fixed and rigid sign. mind. And by that, I mean they are fixed. They have very definite opinions of yes or no. And being rigid sometimes is their only protection, because you've got to think of them. They are like the scorpion in real life. They do have a sting in their tail. They do have a hard shell. You know, they can sort of move very quickly when they need to, and they can stand very still when they need to. And that's what they're like in real life, in real people. So don't ever underestimate the power of a Scorpio. They have very, very, very deep feelings. They are really able to get to the bottom of a lot of issues. I'm not saying they're always right, but what I'm saying is they'll go away, they'll think about it, and then they take it back to how it affects them, because all the water signs do vibrate off a feeling. You know, how it feels in the pit of their stomach. That's how they vibrate. Every star sign or every group of energies has a way that they deal with things, and this is how the water signs deal with it. They have to go away. They have to feel it. They have to feel the energy before they make a decision. So it's a really exciting time of the year for Scorpio. So happy birthday, Scorpio. We're also still continuing on the Scorpio flavour. We've got Mars, the planet of action, is sitting in Scorpio at the moment, conjunct or holding hands Mercury. Now, Mars is the planet of action. This is the planet that gets us out of bed, that gets us moving, that gets us motivated. It can also be seen with Mars in Scorpio, the planet of war. Now, I naturally have Mars in Scorpio in my natal chart, which is my birth chart. So I understand Mars in Scorpio very well. It gives you the ability to sort of really analyze and look at things very, very carefully. It's the aspect that we would look for in people in the military, people that are leading our military forces around the world, because they have the ability to be rational in the heat of the moment, in the heat of battle. They can still think very, very clearly. They can be concise. They can make decisions and sidestep the emotion and look at it for the bigger picture of what needs to be achieved, how we're going to conquer this, how we're going to conquer and divide, or how we're going to approach something. And anybody that has Mars in Scorpio in their natal chart has that ability to apply that to their day-to-day life. And sometimes it's seen as being a little bit too militant, that sometimes that, you know, they're very bossy and have very definite opinions and different and definite ways of something should be done. Yes, it is probably bossy in some ways, but you've got to understand they were born with this power for a reason. They were born with this to sort of share their knowledge, their wisdom, their ability to be able to be calm and cool and collected in the time of a crisis or a battle or a war as such, that they're the people that we go to in those times, that when we need that sort of strength, that we need that sort of leadership, we look for somebody that has Mars in Scorpio. So Mars in Scorpio conjunct or holding hands Mercury means at the moment that, you know, if there is a battle to be won or a battle to be fought, we need to make sure that we're communicating in a very articulate, definite sort of manner. Take the emotion out of it. Make sure that we present the facts and nothing but the facts. And then when we've looked at the facts, then we can bring in, well, this is a possibility, or that may happen, or this could happen. But we need to be very clear and concise that we produce the facts first and foremost and put it in a very clear, concise, easy to understand manner. Don't bring out all the great big words out of the dictionary that you've only used once in your life. This is a time for everybody to be fully aware of what you're trying to share with them, that it needs to be very clear and concise. Now, the fact that we're dealing with Scorpio, we're dealing with the water sign energy, so it's going to be predominantly affecting Scorpios, Pisces, Cancer, and the opposite sign of Taurus. It will wash over the other remaining eight signs. It won't be as intense unless you have either one of those planets sitting in your natal chart, which most people don't know where their planets are. So it's really not that important that you, unless you fully understand your chart, that you know where your planets are. But for people that don't understand, just be aware of the communication that you're going to have. If you're going to have to need to have a conversation that is important to you or important to areas of your life, make sure that you present the facts very clear, concise, and very definite. Also then, you know, it's nothing wrong with having some notes on your cell phone or your mobile phone, as we call them here in Australia, and just, you know, go back and refer to that. In the old days, we used to have pen and paper, and we used to have some palm notes in our hand, you know, the palm cards. So the same sort of thing applies. So, you know, make sure that you're very clear and concise with what you want to get across, what you need to talk about. This may not necessarily be the best time if it was a conversation connected to romance, because things could get a little bit heated. Things could get a little bit intense here with the Scorpio energy. And you need to be aware of that because, you know, sometimes we can be on opposite sides and have very, very definite opinions, and sometimes we can't find any middle ground. This could be one of those times. I'm not saying don't have the conversation. I'm just suggesting to you to be aware they may be as fixed and rigid on their side of the argument or the situation as you are, and there may not be a resolution that can be thrashed out at the moment. And, you know, in those sort of instances, agree to disagree and we'll come back and revisit it in a week's time or another time that suits both of us when things may be a little bit less intense. We have Uranus, the planet of the unusual and unexpected, has just gone retrograde. Now, what does a retrograde planet mean? It seems like as if it's going backwards in the universe, and it doesn't mean that it takes away all its power. What it means is it sort of makes it a little bit more palatable, I suppose. Uranus is one of those planets that comes along like the bolt of lightning, comes in, clears things out of the road really quickly, and then you say, oh, my God, what do I do now? You know, left a path of destruction. So, and not always is it destructive, but, you know, it's cleared things out of the road really quickly. Now, Uranus is sitting in Gemini at the moment. Now, Gemini is an air sign, so it's going to be affecting the air signs, which is Libra, Aquarius, Gemini, obviously, and the opposite sign of Sagittarius. So for those sort of four signs, you need to be very, very aware. Things could happen very suddenly out of nowhere. Sometimes it'll seem as if it's something that you haven't been able to control. Sometimes it'll be something that you've been waiting on and bang, everything's starting to move, and that's really great. Now, I want you to be aware of this. Uranus will be going backwards or retrograde until January next year, late in January 2026. So we've got to expect the unusual and the unexpected. I have lots of clients around the world that, you know, are air signs or Sagittarius, and a lot of them are saying to me at the moment, I'm on the precipice of doing something different. I'm looking for a new job. I'm looking to move. I'm looking to do something. And it's sort of like they're waiting, waiting, waiting. Well, that waiting will come to an end very suddenly when it does. And sometimes we have to get to that point of stillness before change actually happens too. So just be aware of that. But it will wash over the other remaining eight signs. You know, things can come out of nowhere, that plum job, that opportunity, meeting somebody, you know, changing your car, whatever. Things can happen very suddenly. So just be prepared for the unexpected. We also have Venus, the planet of love and affection, is sitting in Libra at the moment. And this is a nice place for Venus to sit because Venus is at home. Venus feels very comfortable here. So if you're looking for loves, then maybe it's sort of time to get out to sort of some luxurious sort of places, some places of that, you know, are artistic or the arts or music, anything that's creative. You know, I think of going to the theatre or going to the movies or going to see a band or going to see a rock concert in the park, something that's creative, something that you're going out and you're mingling with people that are like-minded souls. I don't know too many people that go to an art gallery if you're not interested in art. So don't go there if you're not interested in art, because you're probably going to meet somebody that's a real, you know, arty sort of person that really enjoys going to galleries. You want to meet people in environments that are conducive to what you feel sort of comfortable with as well. So still continuing on with the retrograde planets, we've still got two more that I want to talk about. And one of them is Saturn. Saturn is the planet of discipline. It's retrograde until February 26th, and it's gone back into Pisces. So it's, you know, it spent a good 12 months in Pisces and then sort of moved into Aries briefly and it's gone back into Pisces now. So it's going back in there and sort of saying to all the water signs that you're just going to have one last little look. So it's like, okay, if you're a water sign, if you're a Pisces, Cancer or Scorpio, or the opposite sign of Virgo, we've got to make sure that we've got everything in order. The things that you've learned in this last 12 to 18 months, are you applying them in your life? Is there anything else that needs adjusting, fixing up? Is there anything of an official level that you've sort of put on the back burner and sort of think, oh, I'll get around to that? Well, now's the time to drag it out and look at it and sort of make sure that all anything that's official is in place and that you're listening to what your body is telling you. You're listening to the cues in life about what needs to change or what you need to tidy up. And if everything's tidy and everything, we'll just sit back and relax and, you know, enjoy the fact that things have just slowed down just marginally while we regroup and we get ready for things to sort of start moving again, you know, at the end of February next year. Things are going to start to take off again like a rocket. So the final one we're going to talk about today is Neptune is also in Pisces, has just gone back into Pisces. It'll be there till December. So Neptune is the planet of illusion or delusion, but it's also the planet of creativity. So this will wash over the 12 signs. So if you've been finding you've had a little bit of a creative block, things will start to loosen up a little bit now because, you know, Neptune has been there retrograde for a little while now, so it's sort of starting to sort of move everything along. And it may be the time that no matter what your star sign is, that we can start to find some creative solutions to the things that have been troubling us. And particularly as we head towards the end of the year now, where, you know, we're heading into the last 3 months of the year, where we start to sort of look back and think what we haven't sorted out, what we plan to sort out, or what we plan to change at the beginning of the year, oh, well, we didn't get around to that, or, you know, our goals changed or things changed. Now's the time to sort of go back and look at that through a creative eye and sort of say, well, have I achieved what I wanted to achieve? Is there still work to be done on this, and how can I approach it? So look at it in a very positive way. For a lot of people, I find that they sort of find that they're doing a little bit more daydreaming or listening to a little bit more music or wanting to sort of lose themselves in a podcast or a TV series or something like that on Netflix, and, you know, you binge watch something because it's so interesting, and it's in a sense a way of avoiding what you have to do. Yeah, I really did have to go and do this, that, and the, oh, no, I'll just watch one more episode, and I know I can be guilty of that. But sometimes we need to do that because that's what Neptune is asking us to do, is to give ourselves a little bit of downtime and enjoy the simpler pleasures in life, and then we can come back to our tasks a little bit more refreshed. So we're going to take our first caller, which is Kimberly in Sacramento. In California. Are you there, Kimberly?
Hi. Yes, I'm here.
Right. Do you have a question I can answer for you, Kimberly, please?
Pretty much general. I got a lot going on, and my health hasn't been very good. So I'm just kind of wondering, I'm kind of stuck where I'm at, and I don't know. I have questions. I have a lot of questions. I just don't know how to phrase them.
That's all right, Kimberly. Well, I'll just have a general sort of look around in your soul and give you everything I get. The first thing that's coming up around you, Kimberly, is there's a lot of endings, change and transformation going on. And I think you have been consciously working at trying to improve things in your life and bring some things to a sort of a close. It's like having a real good clear out of your life. You know, I'll keep this, I'll maybe keep that, maybe I'll throw that. You know what I mean? It's sort of like we need to work through these practices of emotions that have been coming in and out of your mind. I don't generally talk about health issues because there's so many different restrictions in different locations about what we can and can't talk about, but I can talk about it on an energetic level. And the fact is that I feel that you feel to me soul tired. It's like some days I get out of bed and I really feel like I've already run a marathon, don't you? And you sort of think, you know, but I'm sure I had a good night's sleep. I've been in bed a long time, but I get out of bed and it's like I'm really dragging myself. This indicates to me that, yes, okay, it can manifest itself on the physical. But when we've got what I call soul tiredness, it means we've been doing a lot of work during the night while we've been sleeping or supposedly resting, that our soul has been, you know, trying to sort things out, work through things, get things ready for the next chapter in our lives or whatever. So this is what's been happening. And this has been tied in with the emotions that you've been going through. You know, why is some of this old stuff coming back into my head? It happened when I was 5. What use is that to me now? Well, it's not a matter of what use is it to you. Just acknowledge it, let it go through your mind like a videotape, and then give it the flick. It's a way of clearing things out, and it's also a way of the soul sort of doing a spring clean, getting you ready for some new areas of your life that are going to come in. And we can't take everything with us into our new life. You know, that's like, you know, if you're going to move house, you can't take everything that you've had since your birth with you, because the house would be fallen, overflowing, and there'd be no room for you. So it's the same with our soul. We can't take all the memories, all the experiences and everything with us into our new part of our life. We have to clear it out. We have to clear out and only keep what's necessary. So don't be too hard on yourself. And that's one of the messages that were coming through from your soul, is that you're very critical of yourself. yourself. You're not so critical of other people around you, but you set the bar way too high for yourself. Maybe lower it, and then when we start to achieve things, you get a confidence back again that's sort of like, oh, well, that's good. That wasn't as hard as I thought. So that then we can start to build that momentum back in you getting again, Kimberly, because there's been lots of things that have happened in the last 10 years in your life that have really sort of knocked you for six, haven't they? You know, and you've got back up and you've started again, and it's like, I've had no energy, but I keep going because I've got to keep going. And it's like, you know, telling yourself I've got to keep putting one foot in front of the other. Well, I'm going to say to you now, you don't necessarily have to feel that sort of way. You know, we can, you can acknowledge the fact if you're having a bad day and you're tired and you get out of bed and you're tired, only do what you have to do. Don't sort of say to yourself, well, I had 10 things on my list. I have to do at least 10 of them. You know, if there's 10 there, there's probably another five I can think of. If you can only do two, that's all you do. So we need to sort of be pacing you a little bit better. And by doing this, you'll start to find then that changes will start to come in. I think 2026, when we get to about March onwards, is going to be a very big time for you, Kimberly. Your health will start to improve. I'm not saying we can fix everything, but you're going to start to feel as if you've got more energy. You can start to plan things. You can start to go out and have a little bit of fun again, and really starting to feel a little bit lighter in yourself, that not everything is such a drag. So you're right on cue for where you need to be, Kimberly. So don't be so hard on yourself. If you get out of bed and you don't want to do anything, go watch a movie. You know, give yourself that freedom to be able to do something instead of feeling guilty. You've been too busy rescuing and fixing everybody else's life up. It's now time to fix Kimberly.
Right. And
that
makes sense. that hits the nail on the head there. And I mean, I've got a lot going on, and I'm struggling to keep a roof, you know, over my head right now, and being ill at the same time. So I do have one more question for you. I'm about to have my first grandbaby, and my daughters, my daughters live in Boston, and I'm in Sacramento, and you know, she's 35 and having this baby, and I just want to know, you know, how's that outlook, you know, for
look,
me?
I think it's going to be fine. She's very nervous, as all new mums are going to be before you give birth. But look, she's going to be fine. They never share with me the sex. That's meant to be a surprise. But look, everything's going to be fine. Yes, she's nervous, but she's also very excited, and she can't wait to share the baby with you when the baby comes. So good luck being a grandma. It's a wonderful journey. Anyway, Kimberly, that's where I've got to leave it because I have time constraints. So best of luck with the baby and moving forward in your life. So we're going to talk with Jerry in West Palm Beach in Florida. Are you there, Jerry?
Hi, yes. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Jerry. Do you have a question I can answer for you, sweetie?
I do. I got a kitten. He's about 8 months old now. For about the past 6 weeks, he's had a terrible respiratory infection, like in his sinuses. And in the morning, he's also congested. And my vet is having a really hard time getting him well again. We've tried a couple different antibiotics. He's done like a nasal flush, and nothing came out with that. And we just don't know what to try next.
Look, I'm not a vet, and I'm not usually or choosing to animals. But as you were telling me this, Jerry, I was being shown that you need to change the pet's food, the kitten's food. It's something in the food. There's an additive or something that your little one's having a reaction to, like an allergic reaction. That's what I feel it is.
Well, he didn't. He didn't up in, you know, like for the first 5-6 months that I've had him. There was no problem. And then his sister got sick, and then an antibiotic cured her from the same illness. And then it just isn't taken for him somehow when he caught it.
Yeah, but I would still try looking at what's in the food. You know, look, you got to look at your little fur baby as being like a human being. You know, we can go along for a certain period of time and we can say tolerate tomatoes for argument's sake. And then all of a sudden we can build up an intolerance to it and we're allergic to it. And yet we've been eating it for years. And then all of a sudden we have this chemical change in our bodies. Well, I'm sure the same can be said for your little fur baby. And that's what I would be looking at. Look, I think it's a two-barrel problem here. I think, yes, your little one has caught some sort of infection, the same one as his sister had. But I also think we're now dealing with a secondary thing, which to me is more of an allergy thing, like an allergic reaction to something. There's something in the food that is triggering this. And particularly with it being a lot more in the morning, it's sort of, you know, it's, I think you'll get to the bottom. I think you'll get to the bottom of this, and I don't, you know, I'm not trying to downplay this because this is a really serious condition for your little one. And I understand how worried you are, but I think we need to sort of, you know, write everything down, you know, what time the little one played, what they had. Did they have a drink of milk, a drink of water? What did they eat? How did they react after they ate? You know, were they jumping around the place for half an hour and then all of a sudden looking dopey and their nose was running or whatever? If you can start to do that, I think you'll start to see a pattern in what's sort of happening. And, you know, quite often, I mean, I haven't had a little furry baby for quite a time now, but when I had them, they, you know, they both had different preferences at what they wanted to eat, and they both behaved differently after they ate certain foods. So maybe you need to sort of look at that, even though they've come from the same parent line, that, you know, each little pussycat is, it's individual in its own right, like human beings are. You know, we can all be born from the same parents, but we all have different tastes or different allergies that we bring into the world. So, you know, maybe look at it in that way.
Right.
I think you'll get an insight.
Yeah, they've just had such a short life already. You know, so young, and like the sinuses are, you know, it's got the thick mucus and stuff in it. Just that's there just at random, anytime, any day or time. It's, yeah, it's confusing, but I'll try doing that.
But I think you'll find there's a trigger there. There's a trigger there, or it could be after they've been outside to do their business. Are they, you know, going to a particular plant? I mean, it's going to be, you're going to have to be like Columbo and sort of, you know, get your magnifying glass out and sort of take notes and, you know, start to sort of be the detective on this and start to find things, because I don't think it's just one situation here. I think you've probably got two or three things where one is an infection and two other things are sort of like a trigger, you know, whether it's, you know, a plant or whether it's food-based or something else. But I know you'll get the answers, because I can see this little one growing up to be, you know, fit and healthy and creating chaos and bringing a lot of joy to everybody. He's got a real personality.
Full of chaos as it is.
Yeah, but he's got a real personality, you know what I mean? He's larger than life. So we want to see that all the time, not just some of the time.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jerry, that's where we're going to have to leave it. We've come to the end of the show. So it's always a worry when our pets or our children or our loved ones are sick and we can't find answers. And we sometimes have to think outside the square for how we find an answer to a situation. So, you know, and our fur babies are really important to us, you know, as our children are, and our relatives and our friends. So I wish Jerry the very best of luck with that. So we've come to the end of the show. So as I said, this week's Halloween, and it's a really important time of the year around the world. I wanted to sort of take the time to sort of bring notice to my beautiful little necklace I have on here. This was specially made for me as a special gift by a very, very lovely lady who was David Cassidy's drummer, Terry Cote. So a big wave out and a shout and all my love to Terry. She made me some lovely matching earrings and this beautiful necklace. And I thought it was very appropriate that I wear it today on Halloween, as we celebrate this very magical, spooky time of the year where, you know, it's the time of the year where the veils are its thinnest and we make our contact with the spirit world. And I want to leave you with a really fun song this week. And it's a song that I tripped across that I didn't even know that it actually existed till a couple of days ago. And it's with one of my favourite performers. And I know my producer's laughing now because he knows that I really have a passion for David Cassidy. And it is actually David Cassidy. And the song is called Halloween Party. And it's a real fun, funky sort of song that he has his beautiful laugh at the beginning. And we're all going to go partying and trick-or-treating and just have fun at this magical time of the year. So whatever you do on Halloween, make sure that you have some fun and you and make sure that you sort of, you know, think about the people that we've lost, because it is the time when the veil is at its thinnest and we can make that very deep, strong connection with our loved ones that have passed over and gone before us. And I know I'll be having a little bit of fun here as the little people come trick-or-treating on Halloween. So until next week, bye for now.